You're listening to an On the Move Media Co. production.
Training through a New York City winter. Oh, like, look, y'all, I go through a long run. And so, like, the reason why I'm comfortable with the 6 to 8 miles is like you can bang out 6 to 8 miles on the road or the tread, no problem. You don't need any water, you don't, whatever. Once you get to like 10 miles and above, you need water. And you're gonna go to Central Park. Nothing's on. I just banged out 17 miles this day with 2 gels and no water.
That was Matt Wilpers. This is Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story. Hello, welcome, and welcome back to the Marnie on the Move podcast. I'm your host, Marnie Salop. Today, I'm syncing up with Matt Wilpers, Peloton coach and training specialist, runner, cyclist, triathlete, skier, and founder of Team Wilpers. I'm sure I forgot a few sports. This is Matt's fourth time on the podcast. Today, we're talking about the Boston Marathon, what it means for him to be racing, when he decided to race, and his training leading into it. We chat about nutrition, fueling, and his go-to products and stack for long runs, and his thoughts on carb loading. Matt and I also chat about the many running shoes he has been trying thanks to his partnership with Zappos, and which ones he really likes, and the ones he may race in for Boston. I also get the inside scoop on which triathlons and cycling events Matt has thus far on the calendar for 2024. We do a deep dive into gear, and I may out-geek Matt on the cycling stuff, but you decide. He dials me into his super cool bike and his favorite apparel. Of course, I get some training advice. I definitely ask his thoughts on strategy and training for back-to-back marathons. Not that I'm ever doing this. I was just curious, as I've seen so many people doing this on Instagram. And he offers me a glimmer of hope in my goals to race the New York City Marathon this fall in sub-4 hours. We had a blast recording this conversation, and I'm sure you're going to laugh out loud listening. It's a fun one for sure. If you like what you hear, leave us a review on Apple. It's easy. Head over to wherever you listen to your Apple podcast. Click on the Marnie on the Move podcast, scroll through the episodes, click on the 5 stars, and click on the tiny letters that say, write a review. Tell us what you love. Also, share this conversation on your social channels, wherever you like to get social. Now, on to my conversation with Matt. Matt, it's so awesome to have you on the podcast again today. Thank you so much for being here again.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to be back.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you are training for Boston right
now. I am.
Talk to me about Boston, what it means to you, and like what inspired you to sign up for this race.
Boston means a lot. It's been a bucket list race for me for a long time. Like I remember after I graduated college, I ran the, you know, the 8K, 5K, 10K, that kind of thing. And then I got out, I raced my first marathon and I did pretty well. I was like, oh, I did decent. And I'm like, I'm not far away from qualifying for Boston. So then I just like sent it to the next race and qualified in second in my next race. And then I like little Matt Wilpers just not knowing what he's doing. I was like, I qualify for Boston. I'm going to go. I have to go do this. And this is right after college, right? I trained like an idiot. Like I did everything you could possibly do wrong. I did it wrong. And I ended up with like really bad Achilles tendonitis that turned into tendinosis. And I was done. I never even made it to the race.
Oh my God.
So it got away from me then, right? And then I put marathons aside because it took me a long time to heal from that. And then I ran New York City. My first time running New York City, I was like, all right, well, let's do marathons again. I ran New York City, had a great race, and got under 3 hours for the first time in my life. And I was like, all right, qualify for Boston again. Let's go. Then COVID hits.
Yeah.
And COVID takes it away from me again.
Because you did Boston in 2019, right?
I never did Boston.
Sorry, you did New York City.
Yeah, New York City. Had a great 2019, crushed it. And that was my first time. And then I was like, oh, I qualify for Boston. So I'm like, let's do it. And then COVID hit, took it away from me again. I'm like, you know what? Boston might, you know, I just don't have a good thing going. Yeah. And then I was like, I just didn't, you know, I think they gave me the ability to sign back up again. And I was like, ah, whatever. And then I was talking, I spoke with Morton Gels.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you want to run Boston? I'm like, I can't turn this down. Like, I have to do this.
Okay.
And so I'm running with Morton Gels. And
so, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're running with Morton. Yeah, they I like Morton. I like some of the carbs that you put in the water on the bike.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're really, really awesome. So are you always trained for a marathon?
Heck no.
So could you
No way. I didn't just for the record, while we're on the record, I do not like marathons.
Okay.
I don't like them either. I don't like it at all.
I'm trying to like them.
You know what? I've given up. It's just a love-hate relationship. But the thing is that it tests you. And I like things that test me, that make me stronger, make me figure things out. Like, I can go out and bomb a 5K, bomb a 10K, bomb a half marathon. But you cannot go out and bomb a marathon without, like, training.
Right. Like, seriously.
Yeah, seriously training. So, anyways, I'm doing it because it's fun. It's exciting. And, you know, it's not fun. It's tough. It's exciting. And it makes me a better runner, to be honest.
So how did you go? Because when did you announce? When did you decide, that you're doing it? Yeah, give me the timeline.
February 9th, I announced it.
Okay.
Okay, so I had February, March, bit of April, and then race time.
Okay.
But I started training lightly in December.
Okay, because you kind of had it like in your mind.
Then I had, but then I have all these little vacations that come along the way that get in the way. Like,
yeah,
ski vacations are tough because sometimes it's like snowy and you can't run, or like we were on literally on the side of a mountain where there were no roads. So it was like, you're not training. So I did some training late December to build long run. And then after I got back, did some more training in between these little vacations. But yeah, I've been training since late December, I'd say.
Where did you start with your training? Were you already doing like 13.1? Like, what was your longest run up until that moment?
Oh, I think that 6 to 8 miles I'm always comfortable with.
Okay.
6 to 8 miles, no problem. And I'm, you know, hitting that probably every week, every other week, no problem.
Yeah.
But then I just went straight up to like 10.
And it's kind of hard in New York to get those long runs in. Like, yeah. I actually was going to do a marathon in April, and I bailed for multiple reasons. I bailed for so many reasons, but
it's okay.
Let's just say that, like, when it came to doing a long run in like sub-5 degrees, I was like, I don't know how people train for April and spring races.
This is another reason why I didn't want to do Boston. I just let it go because I was like, training through a New York City winter.
It's brutal.
Oh, like. Look, y'all, I go through a long run. And so, like, the reason why I'm comfortable with the 6 to 8 miles is like, you can bang out 6 to 8 miles on the road or the tread. No problem. You don't need any water. You don't, whatever. Yeah. Once you get to like 10 miles and above, you need water. Yeah. And you're going to go to Central Park. Nothing's on.
Right. Water fountains go off.
I just banged out 17 miles yesterday with 2 gels and no water.
Do you not run with a handheld or a vest?
I tried it once and I lost my mind. I was like, I can't do this. I had a water bottle, and halfway through the run, I chucked it into a garbage can. I'm like, I'm done.
Oh, wow.
And then, but no, now I'm going to get like one of those vests. I'm going to go, you know, hopefully this, I don't know. We'll see. I have mixed feelings about ultra marathons, but it's like one of those ultra marathoner vests.
Okay.
I'm like, if I have the gear, do I have to do one? We'll see. We'll see.
I'm too young. Yeah.
So at 40 years old. But so yeah, the no water stuff in Central Park is tough.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, I like running on the West Side Highway when I'm doing long runs, because if you are doing a long run, right, like down here, there's, you know, Battery Park, there's Brookfield Place. You can always run in there.
If y'all haven't been here yet, it's beautiful.
Yeah. You can always go in there and get water. Then the next stop is Chelsea. So there's the Blue Stone Lane in Chelsea. They always refill my water bottle. They're so nice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know
and
that.
And then there's
trek.
I'm sharing all my tricks with you. Then there's like the ferry, and that's 45th Street.
The ferry has water?
The ferry station has bathrooms and water. Now,
what?
I mean, it's not going to be like bottled water, but yeah. Look.
It's something.
It's something.
Okay.
And then when you get up into like in the summer, especially, but the water fountains are on, when you get up into like the 50s and you're like 60s and you're running up, you know, by those buildings.
By those big buildings.
Where the big outdoor restaurant is. They usually have like water. There's a bathroom there. So there's water. I mean, it's gross. It's absolutely disgusting. But when you're running and you need
it's
water.
Something. That's...
And that's kind of it. That's as far as I know. And then like, you know, I always stop in delis. But when you go into the park, it's like impossible but to
you
get
go
water.
All pavement then, huh?
Yeah.
I cannot do it. Pavement destroys me.
Well, what you run on the bridle path?
Do the bridle path. I like to I love Central Park because I do the, you can run on the bridle path. You can get some gravel. And then you can do the extra top piece and the extra bottom piece to get some pavement.
Yeah.
So it's like when I train for marathon, I think about like I need to preserve my body, but yet build some durability. So it's the trail helps me preserve my joints.
Right.
But then the, you know, I need to build get a little exposure to roads. So it provides just enough exposure. It's hilly. And if I'm having like yesterday, the previous week I was in Maryland, I went all roads and I like died. My legs were so shattered. And so yesterday I was like, you know what? I went all roads last week. I'm going all trail today.
And the treadmill, obviously, you know, is a really great tool.
The treadmill too, yes. But for long runs?
Yeah, you got to have like when I do long runs on the treadmill, I basically put on like five of your classes, of Beck's classes, there like a few Olivia classes. I just mix it up. And then, you know, if I can't stick to it, because I need to see people talking to me either, or, you know, I'll put on some movies. But I mean, the Peloton treadmill is freaking awesome. And I think it changed my life. Like
the Peloton content for the tread.
Yeah.
Whether you're on our tread or you're at the gym or whatever, it is like I can't get on a treadmill without it anymore. It's
it's kind of hard.
It's like it makes it so much better that I'm like, how did we survive before? I don't know.
I've even tried to like go outside, do half my run outside and half my run inside, but that's like not
that stuff. That transition would be tough.
Because you just cool down so quickly.
Yeah.
So when you started training back in December for the Boston Marathon, you've just been ramping up your mileage every weekend, or how are you training? Like, what's your plan that you're doing?
Oh, I hired one of the Team Whippers coaches, Justin Harris. No, it's so, you know, of course, my shameless plug here. We have my coaching business, Team Whippers, and Justin Harris. And so I'm working with one of our coaches, and it's been great because I think that even as a coach, you can always learn from other coaches. And I think we always, even as athletes and as coaches, we should always have this attitude of wanting to like learn.
Yeah.
And because you never know it all.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun as a coach working with another coach because you're like, why? Why? And we sit there, our conversations turn from like, you know, how was your run to like, now why would you do that?
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's like, I think it is so important for coaches to have coaches because it's also like a level of accountability.
Oh, it is.
Because you know so much as a coach, right? So you're going to just like be like, oh, I could do my long run tomorrow and I'll just do this tempo run today.
Oh, and here's another secret. For those of you who have...
Like, I need to get a coach and stop coaching
myself.
Partners, wives,
husbands, is that once you hire a coach, you can be like, well, my coach says I have to go do this. And it creates that much more, like, it has to get done. It's like a chore now.
Yeah.
And so my wife is like, yep, you better go get that long run done. I'm like, thank you.
But your wife is also a runner.
She's also a runner, yeah. She's awesome. And it makes you that, like, because someone's telling you have to do it just makes like it's not just coming from me,
it's a third party.
Because if it was just coming from me, she'd be like, Matt, you know, but now it's come from Justin, so I gotta do it.
So what kind of time are you hoping to get in this race?
Oh, that's such a sensitive subject.
It is.
Well, the other thing, I mean, so the way I look at marathons, the way I've like come to look at marathons is that, you know, Boston snuck away from me so many times.
Yeah.
And they're tough to get into. It's a big rigmarole. There's a lot of money involved. Like, get there, stay there, like all that stuff. And so it's, my point is you got to show up, you got to make it to the starting line.
Yeah.
In order to ensure that you make it to the starting line, you kind of be delicate with your training. Like, I want to make sure that I can finish a marathon, but
yeah.
How hardcore am I going to go on my training to like achieve a certain time? I'm going to go light on the lighter side because I want to make sure I can, number one, finish the marathon. Number two, make it to the starting line.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the low threes, if I can get under three again, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And if I'm having a good day, I should have no problem with that. But, it, you know, and the other thing is like within marathons, even like I experienced testing my 17 mile run, you can start off feeling wonderful. But then like you're going to go through waves of just feeling great, feeling terrible. Yeah. And you have no idea sometimes where you're gonna, like mile 17 between mile seven, you know, at mile 17, what you're going to see, you just don't know.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Can happen.
anyone that comes up here and tells you that they're going to get this time, I'm like, nah. What happens when it like it's suddenly hot, suddenly humid, torrential downpour? Like,
you don't know.
So I'm like, I really don't know, y'all.
Now, are you doing New York City this weekend?
No, I am going New York City half. I'm getting one more ski session in at Alta.
Yeah. Wow.
With some friends. I'm excited for that. But no, the New York City half is a great.
I'm doing it.
I'm glad you are. Like, I should have done it as like kind of a practice for the race.
Yeah.
But it's okay. That last run I just went on gave me a thorough slapping.
So. I've never done it.
New York City half?
Tell me about the New York City half. What do I need to know?
Oh, man. It's a great. It's like the New York City marathon light.
Ooh, I might love that.
It's cool because you get to see a lot of New York City. And coming out of Brooklyn and then going over the bridge, that bridge hits you.
The Manhattan Bridge.
The Manhattan Bridge hits you. But then like you're running along the highway and if the sun's out, it is like it's blinding.
Okay.
On the West Side Highway, it can be blinding. You're just like, I don't even know where I'm going. And then you go over, I guess, wherever this weird bridge is to get into Midtown. And it's a lot of fun from there.
There's another bridge?
Yeah. Because it's like a side bridge to get off the highway.
Oh, okay. Oh, I did not know that.
Is it uphill or downhill? No, it's uphill.
Oh.
And it has all kinds of little potholes and things like that.
Okay.
It's a fun race. It's a great start. And for me, it's always been freezing.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that.
It's not. Yeah, I looked at it. It's going to be raining, but 50 degrees. So I'll take it. Right. Yeah. 50 degrees is my favorite running temperature, I have to say.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That's the best. You'll be fine.
I ran over the bridge once. So I'm doing the race with New Balance. So kind of got my bib very last minute. And I have never done this race. And I've just did a half marathon in Miami. I just did the Miami half, which I bombed. I literally.
What happened?
It was so hot and it was humid.
Oh, yeah.
And I literally just wanted to finish the race and not die. And so I stopped at like every water station and poured water over my head.
What time did the race start?
It starts at like 6 a.m.
That's what I was about to say. It better start at like 6.
Yeah, it starts really early.
Now, did you do any like acclimation in like saunas or something?
I didn't. I didn't have any time. You know, I did it last year. I know that my family watches and listens to this podcast. And I went early last year and stayed with my parents, which caused tremendous stress. So I said, I'm not doing that again. I think it's just not a win for me. You know, it's a beautiful course. I love it. You run through, you know, all the islands and Miami is beautiful. Like you see the water like most of the time. So,
that's awesome.
But it's hot and it's humid and it's brutal. So, so I'm done with that race.
You're in good shape. That toughened you up for this one, right?
Yeah. Then, Florida, I got COVID. So I came home and I was sick for a month. And so then I'm like, all right, I've got to do something. And so luckily I got into New York City half.
Okay.
And that was it. Because the January 29th was the race. I came back from Florida after the U.S. Olympic trials. And as soon as I got home, I was sick. And then for the month of February, I could not train.
How are the lungs feeling?
I feel better now, but it took me a long time. Yeah, like, I did not think that that would happen. But I don't know. Everyone that gets COVID gets like.
Yeah, it drags on.
It was a month ago. But are you going to go up to Boston and do any race recon?
Man, like, what's your? I wish. From now, if I can squeeze it in, there's like 1 week that's like a maybe, but the rest of everything else is so jam packed.
Yeah.
That it might just be literally. I have to teach. I'm teaching Saturday. I Peloton is like, do whatever you need, but I'm like, I'm going to teach Saturday.
Uh huh. Well, you're doing all the running.
But yeah, I'm going to teach Saturday and then go up Saturday afternoon. And then, you know, spend a couple nights there just to get ready to go. But unfortunately, there's going to be nothing, not too much before that that I can really do. So
shout out to our partners at HVMN and Ketone IQ.
Ketone IQ is fuel for your brain. These exogenous ketones give you a clean energy boost without sugar or caffeine. I'm a big fan of exogenous ketones for training, racing, and everyday health. They increase your energy, your focus, and metabolic flexibility. They're also the brain's preferred fuel source over glucose. I've been using HVMN's Ketone IQ individual shots on training runs and in races. I take one 30 minutes before a run or ride. I feel it 20 minutes into my session, and then I drink a second bottle after an hour, and so on. One of my favorite things about Ketone IQ is that it's drinkable, which is key when it comes to exogenous ketones. They are truly an asset to whatever nutrition plan you're following. You don't have to give up your carbs. They work independently. Imagine you're in a traffic jam. Suddenly, a new lane opens up. This is the exogenous ketones lane. HVMN and Ketone IQ work with top Olympic athletes like Des Linden and Michael Andrews, Ironman world champion Sam Laidlow, and top world tour cycling team, Team Visma Lisa Bike. It's time to level up your athletic performance and everyday health by adding HVMN's Ketone IQ to your workouts and daily routine. Visit hvmn.com/Marnie for 30% off your first subscription order. Now, back to our conversation.
And talk to me about skiing, because you are like a diehard skier. And that's your first. So you're going to Alta this weekend.
Yeah, we've had a heck of a ski year. We did a backcountry ski touring trip earlier this year, which was planned for well over a year because it's so hard to get into these huts.
Yeah.
And then that was amazing. I mean, once you do ski touring, like guided ski touring in the backcountry, the snow just doesn't get better than that. It's such a high. It's unbelievable. And then we went to Winter Park with the family, did a little family ski trip. My mom used to be a ski patroller growing up.
Yeah.
That was like her high school thingamajig. So,
you grew up on skis.
Oh, yeah. My mom had a scheme like when we could walk.
Yeah.
And then we just, we came back from Winter Park from the ski trip for the family. And then now it's one more ski trip to Alta and then done.
And your wife also skis.
She does. I think she learned from me.
She did. Did you just like take her up in helicopter and be like, okay, we're going skiing?
No. Her first trip with my family was to Italy.
Okay.
We did a ski trip pre-COVID, actually, right before COVID shut everything down, to Italy. And she literally went from not skiing at all to skiing black diamonds in a week.
Stop.
In a week.
All right, you've definitely met the perfect person in the world for you. Obviously, you know that.
Now she's crushing double
like,
blacks. I'm like so proud of her. She's such a rock star.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the stuff you do skiing, I mean, I know it's not like literally sports-specific training for running and triathlon, but do you feel like there's some component of it that relates?
It's very different.
Yeah.
You get done running, you get done skiing, your legs feel like blocks.
Okay.
But it's more explosive. It's more lateral. It's more explosive.
Okay.
But then when you talk about ski touring is very like running or whatever, because it's very aerobic.
Right.
Right. You're climbing, et cetera, sweating. But I think that there's always the strength component that it really helps you make a more durable frame, your body. So I think it's good for the off season. So the off season, your strength training, et cetera, you're working on explosive muscles, et cetera. And that's great for skiing. But also like makes you puts a stronger frame on you going into like endurance season. So they can put on more volume and worry less about injury. So I like that part of it.
Right. I could see that because I mean, there are just muscles that you don't work when you're doing the other sports.
So it's good because like in the off season, again, I always want to think about general fitness to specific fitness.
Right.
It's very much more general fitness.
Right. Okay.
And then when you want to work towards like training for a marathon, you have to be pretty specific with running at that point. But coming in, like my legs have been, pushed in a lot of different directions. That's good.
So now after Boston, what's your triathlon schedule for the summer?
Oh, only one triathlon this year, Muscle Man.
Okay, you're doing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing
Me
it.
Too.
I don't think I've signed up yet.
It's all right. I'm sure you could get.
I got to make sure I get signed up for that. But yeah, I've already booked accommodation, everything else.
You have.
Oh, yeah. It's because it's so hard to get accommodation.
Now, were you there last year?
We went to Augusta, Maine last year.
How was that?
It was amazing because they had a big storm the night before.
Okay.
So the river was like ripping and my swim was like lightning fast.
So when you're doing that lightning fast swim, like, are there also waves or it's just flat and you're just going down the river?
I I can't remember because you just get out there and get at it.
I know.
But what I just, whenever there's like, you know, I always think about the river, it's a lot of times the current's the strongest in the middle, towards the middle. So I immediately just swam as far out in the middle as the cones would let me or whatever. They're not the cones, I guess the buoys. Cones, yeah.
Yes, yeah, I knew, yeah, but I knew exactly what you were talking
about. Yeah, the buoys. Yeah. And I just, and then go out there and just let it rip. And I think there are some waves, et cetera, but yeah, you don't really notice it. If you, one of the things I'm really thankful I did early in my triathlon career was learn how to bilateral breathe.
Okay.
So that I can breathe on both sides. So if one side's really getting slammed with waves, I'm fine on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why important. I probably never noticed.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're coming back to Muscle Man. They changed the course last year.
Did they?
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
So
I should know this.
No, I just, I'm like, I sit and stare at the course map. When I do like,
did they change the bike?
No, the bike is the same.
Goodness.
So
the bike is fantastic.
The run.
What's wrong with the run?
Brutal.
They changed in a step.
You have to run. So, you know, the regular area where you run the first 3 miles the bike, like you're on that flat area along the water and then you go under the bridge.
Yep.
And then under the bridge, you are going to make like, they make a hard left and you run up over the highway this time.
Oh.
So it's a much bigger climb. It's almost like a 10 on the treadmill.
Wow.
For half a mile. But that's just the beginning of it.
What else do they do to you?
I love them. I love the race director. But they had to change it because something happened with the train tracks. I don't know, with someone's timing.
Oh, I remember that there was like an issue with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember so, my nose is dripping right now. Sorry. I just came in from going through that wind tunnel out there.
Oh, yes. There's a wind tunnel in New York today. Yeah. It's like whipping 30-mile-an-hour winds.
Sorry, but keep going. Tell me. I gotta know what I'm getting myself into.
I only saw you do it just now.
Oh, no. It's like full on. I don't know.
Do you want to get like some?
No, we're good. Right, we're good. Right. We'll keep rolling.
We're runners. We can let our nose run. I know, and do right? That the whole time. I do that all the time.
It's bad.
I can start using my sleeve.
I know.
No, they really, really check it out because I went last summer and thought it was going to be the same as it was the year before. And it wasn't. And I was like gutted. I mean, like I had to walk up a hill, which is fine. Walking is fine. But
yeah,
I like to run and it was hard. But you know what? Like, I love that. I love like surviving that and being able to talk about it. It's a great race.
I think the Augusta Maine run was dope.
Yeah. I've heard that race is really
so good. The run was great. Bike, I was terrified of the bike.
Really?
Because I drove it the day before and I was like, oh man, this is brutal.
Like hilly?
Hilly. Really.
Technical?
The second half was like, looked brutal. But for whatever reason, I guess my expectations were so low going into it that I was like, it actually wasn't bad.
Yeah. So do you like hilly courses for triathlon or would you rather have a flat course?
I want like flat, if not rolling hills, because it's so much for the bike.
And what bike races do you have this year?
I have the Lehigh Grand Fondo.
Okay.
And then so that's Lehigh with Hincapie, and then the Greenville Hincapie Grand Fondo.
I still have to do one of those.
I just love their races. They, you know, he comes from like a professional bike cycling background, obviously.
Right.
And it's like the courses that he puts together are just like a cyclist course. Like,
okay,
you're going to like, it's whipping turns. It's a mix. Like Lehigh's got some gravel in it. And it's just like, you can tell like a cyclist put this together.
Yeah.
Versus like some of them I've been to that I won't name. I'm just like, what is this? Did you just look at a map and just be like, decide how to torture everybody? Like this is not fun.
So do you ride with a Peloton when you do that or you ride by yourself? Like how do you do
it? I call it it's definitely a fly and die scenario.
Okay.
Where I you know, I try to hang on to George's group with Christian and they're constantly like egging me on. And then finally I just die.
Okay.
And I just struggle the rest of the way.
Yeah.
There's this one hill that I get dropped on every year. And I, for whatever reason, it's just like, it gets me. So it's like, after mile 50, you're going this long descent. And I'm telling you, when you're descending with George and his boys and George and his gang, they rip. I mean, you're flying.
Like 50 mile an
hour. Oh, 50 is no problem to these guys.
Oh my God.
No
like
problem.
60, 70?
I don't know. Not that fast. I don't think. But they're going 50.
I can go probably 35 on a downhill.
They have no fear. No fear.
Yeah.
And then, so you go down this long descent and me on a descent, I'm borderline braking because I'm scared I'm going to die. And then I'm sprinting because I was like, I don't want to get dropped.
Right.
So I'm going down this hill like, okay, don't die. Ah, sprint. Ah, don't die. And then all of a sudden you see that there's this massive wall of a climb and you have to have the pop in your legs to get the heck up that hill and hang with
right.
them. And the breaking versus the, you know, the dying versus the sprinting on the way down tires me out enough that I don't have that pop
to get up,
to get, to keep up with them on that hill. And your heart just goes to your mouth. Cause you're just like, oh!
It sounds so awesome.
It is. And then, but they get me on that stupid hill every time. But anyways, I'm trying. One of these days I'll get there.
So when do you, like, what's your base? So we know your base for running. Well, actually, like, what's your weekly base for running? Like,
yeah,
do you maintain
tough.
Some kind of base for all the sports that you can kind of, like, jump in or?
Yeah, it's tough. Cause, you know, with Peloton, I'm beholden to a production schedule more
right.
so than a training schedule.
Right.
And that,
okay.
Cause it doesn't make the same sense as a training schedule. So it's, I'm always running. I can be doing 1 to 2 runs a week with him, or I could be doing 3 to 5 runs a week with him.
Okay.
It just depends. And those runs can be 20 minutes. They can be 90 minutes. They can be, there's a lot,
okay.
a lot of variety. So that base changes. But then if I ever feel like I'm getting too low during the week,
right,
I'll go bang out a run on Friday.
Okay. So you probably have like 25 miles a week.
Something like that.
Easy.
Something like that. I don't really track it, to be honest.
As long as, but you're running so frequently that it's not really a thing for you. It's not
no.
like you have to think about running. It's like, that's what you do for work. So
yeah, I'm still running frequently. And of course I ran in college. And so I'm just like, you know, you get that mental state where you're like, I'm fit, even though you might not be fit.
Yeah.
You
know, I kind of feel like that all the time. And I'm not fit. I'm like, I don't know why I'm so slow.
I don't know why that run hurts so much. And I'm like, oh, maybe you haven't done something like that in a long time.
Yeah. Totally. What shoes are you running in these days? Like, do you have like treadmill? Like, what's in your quiver?
Well, I'm doing this partnership with Zappos.
Okay.
And it's been so much fun. Like, I'm trying out all these different shoes that I didn't realize, but these shoe, like all the shoe companies really have it dialed in now.
Yeah.
Like for a while there was some like left behind and that, but now like, I'm telling you, man, that it's been a lot of fun. Typically, I'm a Hoka guy.
Yeah.
But now I'm really spreading my wings. So I got quite a few. I've been trying out all kinds of different shoes for this year and training in a bunch of different shoes. So, gosh, the Hoka Clifton 9s, the Hoka Mach 6s are dope.
Yeah.
I've been trying out the Alpha Flies, to be honest, which mm-hmm. has been interesting. I tried out the Vapor. I've been trying out the Alphas. And then Asics has a really awesome shoe they just came out with. And then Brooks has some amazing shoes that have come
yeah.
out. So I'm playing around a lot. Right now, my whole apartment absolutely looks like a shoe store. So.
Yeah. I actually, like, in the last few months, started a YouTube channel where I'm, like, reviewing shoes.
Okay.
I mean, I have other stuff on the YouTube channel, but I just started because everybody asks me about shoes, and I try a lot of shoes as well. And I can never see what shoes you're wearing, though, on the treadmill. Like, I have
oh,
to,
really?
Like, zoom in. I'm blind, so I would have to, like, zoom in on my screen. But I saw you were wearing Hokas today, and I was like, they're just – I love Hokas. If you like the Rocket X2s, have you tried those yet?
Those
you
are the
will
carbons?
Love those, yeah.
The carbon plate ones?
Yeah, do you like
– Yeah, I've tried those. Those are dope.
Yeah, and then they have a new one that I just tried, the Cielo X1.
Oh, wow.
So if you – are you a –
Y'all, she's way more dialed in on the gear than I am.
I'm a gear junkie. We haven't even started talking about bikes yet.
I'm like, these shoes are all light and cushiony. Since when?
You've got to try the New Balance.
Oh, is it the fuel cell?
The V4, yes.
Oh, yeah. Those are on my list. I have them right now.
They're so good. They're yeah. fast and they're cushiony, but yeah. they're not like so cushiony that you're like sinking into the shoe.
That's what I've realized. It's
yeah.
like, it's that balance. It's like, you got to have the cushion, but you don't want to be like sitting in a, you
yeah.
know, like a cushy couch out there.
Yeah. I feel like I have to try the Alpha Flies. I have them,
yeah,
but I haven't tried them because
the sound.
Yeah. They are, you like them.
The sound. No, the oh. sound that they make when you run. I'm like,
oh,
oh gosh.
I run with music. I can't hear anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Anyways, but
I'm
yeah,
have
the
to try
sound
it.
Is different.
Yeah. That's cool. So what do you think you're going to run Boston in? Have you decided?
I don't know. I've done some runs and, you know, everyone's obsessed with the Alpha Flies for a racing shoe. For a training shoe, absolutely not. But it could be that shoe.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I haven't really made the decision yet. I'm trying the different shoes out during my long runs and seeing what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And it's going to just be a decision as it gets closer. I've dialed in a lot of things, but I have not dialed that in yet.
Yeah. And then you mentioned Morton for nutrition.
I love it.
So are you a high carb guy or more minimalist? Gosh. Like, where do you stand on that school of thought?
I am trying desperately to get towards more high carb.
Okay.
Because I think that from everything I can tell and from what I've learned just in the past few years, it makes a big difference. If you can consume it and use it, fantastic. Like, you're going to feel better for longer.
Yeah.
1,000%. But for me, it's just, can I get it down the hatch without feeling terrible?
Right. And it's hard when you're running. It's easier on the bike.
So for example, like, my long runs up until now, I've kept them mostly easy.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I gave it a push.
Mm-hmm.
And the way my stomach reacted to nutrition was slightly different.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it was a little bit more like, chill out, baby. Versus like, oh, we could eat this all day long. So it's, you know, it's a balance, but that's what they call it, like training your gut.
Yeah.
So I'm really working on trying to train my gut to be able to handle more.
Yeah. I feel like that's a thing, right? Because zone 2, zone 3, zone 4, like, depending on what speed you're at. Also, yeah. I never even thought about that. That's like such a good point.
I've been chronically malnourished during races, I found, for most of my life. Well, for most of my like marathon life, but also cycling.
Yeah.
I'd always just try to get by in the least because I was like just always so worried about my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're solving this problem of like making nutrition that your stomach can handle, I feel like it's like a whole new world.
Yeah. Now, have you tried exogenous ketones?
No. I know. I should, but I have
some for you. Well, really? If you don't
this
mind
is a
me
doping
saying
project over here, y'all. Watch out.
Wait.
Marty's pushing some drugs over here.
I have some here. I brought you. Well, also,
I can't wait to try.
Full disclosure, and I don't have to do this and we can delete this, but they are sponsoring.
That's awesome. Now I've been dying to try it.
They're a sponsor, but like, I fucking love them.
Awesome.
Like, I would not have them as a sponsor if I did not love them.
So tell me, like, where and when does that make sense?
You don't have to change your carbs. It's like more, what I've learned about exogenous ketones from using them is that you also continue with like whatever carbs you're counting, like the gels and the chews and whatever you're taking in. But this is like another lane on the highway. If we're on the highway and there's a traffic accident and like you can't,
I'll take all the lanes I can get.
Yeah, so it's a new lane. So you don't have to like not be a carb person. Like the old school thought was the diet, right? Like the ketone diet. It's not that.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but your body is burning a combo of carbs and fat during running. And it's the higher the intensity, the more the grabs for carbs.
Yeah, so it's like, it's almost like, it's probably something good like when you take it like half an hour before you're gonna hit the wall.
Got it.
Because it gets you like super focused and gives you like this, it's like having coffee but no stomach ache. I don't know.
All right.
It's like high energy.
No, I'm curious.
I'm giving you one after this.
I remember when in the pro tour they were talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But then it was like $1 million to get anything. So I was like, all right, well.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, there's different versions. It doesn't taste great. Like there's different brands out there. But the one brand that I'm working with, I think they're pretty good. And I've tried them for a long time. So you're trying to increase your carbs, trying not to have a stomach ache.
Yeah, finding training the gut.
Yeah.
I'm working on it. I've been working on it. Because I realized like, I was riding in Greenville last year with Christian. He was just like, you know, I was walking him through how things usually go. He's like, you've got to like increase how much you eat. So I went through the nutrition I brought down, I went through it in like the first quarter of the race.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel amazing. And then, I try to rely on what was on the course and what was on the course and my stomach did not get along. And let's just say that was a rough last part of the race. It was rough.
So when do you when will you start training for your triathlon stuff on the bike, like increasing your mileage and all that?
As soon as this marathon's over.
Okay.
As soon as this marathon's over, I'm going to be, and it, like, again, I'm such a fair weather cyclist now. It's ridiculous. Like I'm such a baby. I used to be out with the team in like 18 degree weather. Nope. Got the gloves on, now I'm just like, it's in the 30s or it's in like the low 40s. Yeah. That's still too cold. But you know, like indoor training it's come such a long way.
Yeah.
I could just literally go up, hop on my Peloton.
Yeah.
Bang out some rides. That's just great. That's a great solution during the week. But on the weekends, I need to start getting out there on the weekends and getting some
mileage in.
Yeah, I'll have to do that.
Yeah, because I mean, it's, I mean, the training indoors is really game changing, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
being on the Peloton, because it really keeps you using those similar muscles and also like your cardiovascular. But
it's been hilarious. I call this out during class. It's been hilarious to watch my cycling fitness plummet while my running fitness goes higher. So it's like, again, it's muscle specificity, and I'm really dialed in for running right now versus cycling.
Yeah.
I'm not dialed in for anything, let's be honest, but running versus cycling. And my old FTP that I'm still hanging on to right now,
it feels
absolutely brutal. And so I need to take a dose of my own medicine, just bring that FTP down. And yeah.
Are you, you know, speaking of, I mean, you really do have to get sports specific, right? Like for the, like I've always struggled with that. Like I always want to do like half marathons.
You can do everything, 70 just not at the same time.
Yeah.
That's right.
It really is real.
It's real. I was up there like holding whatever my zone 3, zone 2. I'm just dying. I'm like, you've got to retest, Matt. You've got to, you're not.
Your FTP, you have to redo
my
your
FTP.
My
FTP is too high right now.
Yeah. So what will you do to get it higher?
Oh, my FT, like after I, once I start the training block, once I start like actually getting back on the bike, retest, see where I'm at, train more responsibly.
Yeah.
And then it comes back real quick because again, it's just like the cardiovascular fitness is there.
Yeah.
It's just the muscles.
Yeah.
Muscles and also the firing pattern, the movement patterns. And once those start coming back, the fitness builds quick.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I always try to remind people to have patience with their bodies and myself included. It's just, I know that I can be able to bring it back quick. I just need to spend the time.
And you don't, and do you use Training Peaks or no?
I love Training Peaks.
Okay.
It's dope.
They're not one of my sponsors. I'm just like,
oh, yeah,
I've been on there for like 20.
Another plug coming.
No. I'm like addicted to that. But
oh, Training Peaks is
great. I feel like I game the Training Peaks system by doing long bikes. So because you're talking about fitness, right? Like, and I know obviously like with Peloton, there's all kinds of metrics on the dashboard and all kinds of things that, you know, zones and all the stuff, but Training Peaks is a whole other level.
Yeah.
And I see when I'm running that my fitness levels like plummet, like they're down.
Yeah.
Like sinking. And then I'll go out for like a long bike ride and it goes back up and I'm like, yes.
You're
so
funny.
Like it kills me. Running kills me to just be running because I'll look at Training Peaks and it'll be like 50 is my fitness level.
That's, you're hilarious. external motivation versus internal motivation 101 right here, y'all.
I'm very motivated by the numbers on the Training Peaks.
I laugh at like sometimes it's,
I know
it, I finish a workout, it's like you need to recover for the next 6 years. Like I'm just like shut up.
Oh, so, I'm Carmen.
I look at my watch and I'm just like, okay, I don't know, it's they're data points, right? And we always think about like qualitative versus quantitative data. And I think that the you know you.
Yeah.
You know, like the quantitative data can be like once you know yourself that well, you can just be like, it's just like little like grains of salt, right? It's like, okay, how much am I gonna like really lean into this? And I see people lean into too hard of the data all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes
no,
they're
I'm a little bit of a data geek.
Yeah, I mean, because
it's a problem though, but I know it. Yeah. I know it. So that's like the first step. So now I know that I'm like super fit, even if it says 50.
You know you're fit.
Yeah. I'm not ready to do a triathlon, but
you're so
coming.
Fit.
It's coming.
No.
I need to get. So, what bike are you riding these days?
Oh my gosh!
Talking
Ventum,
about gear. Yeah.
The Ventum NS1. I finally got one. I love it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, and it's. I saw your question. I was like, I have to write down all the knickknacks. I don't know. So my belief in cycling, this is early in my cycling career, Matt had no money.
I think I knew that.
Matt had no money. Matt took his first bonus from the accounting days and bought his first road bike.
Oh, I didn't know you that.
And it was like a half aluminum. It was mostly aluminum with some bits of carbon on it. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. But I knew that, you know, the double front ring so I could race it. And I used to get my kicks out of wailing on the people with nice gear.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, and my buddy,
strong.
And my buddy, guys on my team were always like, remember that the engine is more important than the gear.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, and that's so true. You can have the nicest stuff in the world, but if you don't have a good engine, like if your body's not in shape, it doesn't matter. But now I'm that guy that's got like a fancy bike and I'm like, I can't believe I'm riding something so awesome. And coming from where I used to be to where I am now in terms of gear, it makes me really appreciate it. Like the gear that we have now is so dope. It's so fast.
Yeah, it's really...
It's so light. I'm like, how do they do this? This is great.
But it's a testament to like people who don't have that stuff and are still crushing it, right?
Yeah, and you don't... The thing is like, it's great to have it. It feels great. It looks great, whatever, but you don't have to have it. You can still do a lot with very little. I mean, I'll never forget when I was in college, we were broke, beyond broke. And we'd watch the Tour de France and my buddies on the cross country team, we'd be like, you know what? We'd see everyone crushing it and we get all excited. We went and rode the Silver Comet Trail, 50 miles on my mom's old mountain bike on a road.
That's awesome.
We didn't know what drafting was. We didn't know any. And like, this is a bunch of this. I think it was like 4 or 5 fit dudes going and doing this. And I think only like, 2 to 3 of us made it back. One guy like had to call his girlfriend and be like, just pick me up, I'm dead. Like, but it was just like, it was just so much fun. And we still did a 50 mile ride, but it was, and I didn't even know what drafting was back then.
Yeah. I tried to draft yesterday with a runner.
Oh, are you trying to draft a runner? That's a lot. While running?
I was running. Okay, yeah, I was like, yeah.
It does help a little.
I was running because it was so windy. I had to run sideways and I like ran behind someone.
Echeloning? Yeah. There you go.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
I don't even know.
I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think, you know, I've been on an old bike for a long time, like, too, and I love it. I love my old bike. I just got wheels. I think that's a good upgrade. Like, you can
Wheels are one of the best upgrades ever.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
When what wheels are you on these days?
So this bike's got the Zip 303s,
okay,
which are dope.
Yeah.
But I remember that bike, that first bike I had or whatever, I destroyed the wheels I had. Like I raced that bike so hard that I destroyed the wheels. And there was a guy on my team, and I'm like, you know, what wheels should I get? Cyclists are nerds, y'all. There's a lot of cyclists that are like nerd. Like I'm looking at one right now. This guy, his name is David.
Yeah.
And he hands me a book on spoke hub theory.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, you know, read this and then we'll talk. I'm like, I can't even make the first page of this book. Like, it is putting me to sleep, yo. So anyways, I ended up I asked another friend and ended up getting like a pair that was just slightly better than what I had. And it made the biggest difference because it's the most dynamic part of the bike. It's the most, you know, it's in contact with the ground. It's most resistance, et cetera. It made such a difference. Wheels make a huge deal. And then I got like a set of race wheels eventually. I borrowed a set of race wheels. Yeah. What the heck? Amazing.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, they really are. It doesn't matter. Like there's all these things, the schools of thought around wheels that like, you know, if you're not going over 21 miles an hour, it's not going to make a difference. And I don't go over 21 miles an hour and it makes a huge difference.
Yeah,
it's just like they're
now.
Lighter.
Are you one of those folks with like a disc on the back?
No.
Y'all, if you ever hear a disc, it sounds like a spaceship's coming by.
I love that. I would love it. Like, I would love to be able to ride on that, but I think I would be flying. I think that would be like if you see someone flying over New York City, it's me on a disc wheel.
Now even better question: are you going to get one of those new helmets? Do you see the new helmet in the Giro? Like the new, like the Spaceballs helmet?
I might already have it.
The Aero helmet? No.
It have a peak thing? Like, is it like angular in the back?
Well, it's like wider now.
No.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think so. I haven't seen them in the real world yet.
Okay. No, I don't know.
Oh, man.
I have some pretty crazy helmets.
Y'all, if Marnie gets this helmet, I'm going to take a photo.
People think I'm a stormtrooper. I show up at Strictly with like this huge helmet. And then I take it off and people are like, how does that fit you? Like, that is like giant.
I don't know. But they're so comfortable inside,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So. I mean, and they're so, like, it's so important to have a good helmet. That's the other thing I learned.
Yeah.
And, like, not to use the same one for, like, 5 years.
I need to get a new helmet. It's time. Do you recommend anything? I've been riding with the same Specialized helmet for I don't know how many years.
I like the cask. I mean, for not for triathlon, but I like the cask Utopia Y. Cask.
Just all these things I've never heard of, y'all.
It's a really nice helmet. Okay. It's like solid. I don't know like all the details, but it definitely has like they have their own technology. Okay. That is like the safety technology.
It's not like a normal MIPS type.
No, it's their own special technology, but it's similar to MIPS. Yeah.
I need that, and I need a new helmet for skiing because
they make ski helmets too.
Oh, really? Because
yeah. They're not a sponsor.
My ski helmet saved my life probably two to three times this year already.
What brand do you ski in? What helmet?
Oh, it's a Smith.
Oh, Smith is awesome.
It's such a wonderful helmet, but I've taken some licks this year. So I need a new helmet.
Do you have any like cycling gear or apparel that you love?
Gosh, obviously everyone knows Rafa is good stuff, but Wind Republic, I think, is the biggest secret for me.
Yeah.
Their stuff just doesn't even feel like it's on.
Yeah. It has to fit well, right? Like, that's the other thing.
It's so breathable, and it just doesn't feel like it's even on. So I love their stuff.
Yeah.
And but cycling gear, I don't know. I need to make some upgrades this year for shoes. I need to make an upgrade.
What shoes?
I've been wearing the same Specialized shoes forever.
I have the same triathlon, like, Velcro shoes forever.
Oh, yeah?
I have other cycling shoes, but I feel like for triathlon, they're not as good.
Got it. I gotta make some upgrades. We'll see. But I don't know. Gear is... I'm not too obsessed with gear because it's, you know...
Yeah, no. I'm a little bit, like, I have a problem.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, that's fine.
I'm like, Lori came into me the other day and she's like, you are seriously a geek. And I'm like, you didn't know that about me, like, my whole life. I'm just like, I'm into gear.
Oh, our whole apartment looks like a Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
So I can't say we're not into gear, but anything I turn my wife onto, she's just like, she goes deep in the rabbit hole, and I'm just like, yeah, whatever she gets.
Yeah, I'll take that. Boston, so like back to running and training. Yeah, that's your next race, and that's then it. After that?
After that, I guess it's... training for Muscle Man. I think I'm still going to do the mile this year.
Okay,
with New York Road Runners. I love that race.
Yeah. What's your mile pace these days?
Oh, it's okay. I'm still below. I want to see how old I can get and still be sub five.
Yeah.
So I'm still sub five.
All right.
But awesome. I would love to get under 5:50 this year if I can.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much training I'm going to be able to put forth towards that. So we'll see.
Do you have a favorite running distance? So
my favorite running distance would probably be somewhere between the mile and the 5K. Probably one of those two. Because it's like, I'd say probably the 5K because it's distance enough to be distancey. And you can be as slow as I am, but still be considered fast.
Okay. I love it.
And it's also like you bust it out hard and it's done. So yeah, I'd say probably 5K.
I forgot to ask you your thoughts on training for multiple marathons in a row, right? Like, because I see a lot of people, you know, obviously Shalane Flanagan did that, you know, a couple years ago where she did like six marathons. I don't remember what it was, either six marathons in 6 weeks or seven marathons in 7 weeks. Like when you're going from like thing to thing to thing, it could be a marathon, it could be a triathlon. What's the ratio of recovery to build back or how did
it? It really depends, right? It really depends on the athlete you're talking to, like a Shalane Flanagan. Like, obviously, she bounces back much faster than most people.
Right.
She's been marathoning forever, right?
Right.
So she's going to bounce back. She's got no less problem with that. But like an athlete that's just getting up that's not used to marathoning is different. Yeah. Like, I just finished 17 miles. I'm a train wreck. So it's like, it's going to take me longer to recover. And then you talk about like, how old the athlete is, like older athletes take longer to recover.
Okay.
So it's I don't think it's a one size fits all.
Okay.
And so, you know, train them up for the distance. You have to think about the trade-off between getting it done and performance.
Right.
So are like, are we going for a PR?
Right.
Or are we just going out there to get it done? That results in two levels of fatigue, different levels of fatigue, right?
Okay.
And so there might be that trade-off there. So there's a lot that you have to kind of decide that would depend on like, that would dictate what the recovery looks like.
So it's really like case by case dependent and also like the level of the athlete, like where they are.
Case by case. But at the end of the race though too, like no two races are going to be the same.
Yeah.
And so when you walk away, one might be completely train wrecked from. The other one, you may be like, no problem. Yeah. But I think that if you're packing back-to-back races and eventually there's going to be some residual fatigue, mm-hmm. and that's going to impact performance.
Okay.
And so you have to decide, like, are we going to pick an A race or are we just going to do so-so at both?
Yeah.
But it depends on the level of athlete, depends on a lot of things, right?
Yeah. Now, I have like one last question for you, which is totally about my training.
There we go.
And then we're done.
All right. Let's go. No,
my last question. All right. It's a math question, so I think you'll be good at it.
Oh, gosh.
I am running an 11-minute mile for a long run, and I would like to run a 9-minute mile.
Okay.
Maybe sub 9 for the New York City Marathon so that I can do it in under 4 hours and qualify for Boston in the following year. Yeah. I have almost a year.
Yeah.
Is it possible?
That's almost a year. I think 2 minutes mile in a marathon. I think that's possible, but it really comes down to how much training you can put towards it.
Yeah.
And how focused you can make that training. And it had to be pretty methodical.
Okay.
And so I would say that, you know, obviously it's building. You have to first build the biomechanics to be able to handle the speed mm-hmm. over short distances.
Okay.
And so I would work there first and mm-hmm. like getting to the track, getting to know getting on the treadmill and getting comfortable with, I really like using the treadmill to be honest, more even than the track these days, getting on the treadmill and then doing intervals at that pace and just getting comfortable with it. And like part of it is physiology of like just getting your bodies fast. But a big part of it I see for runners is just getting their mind wrapped around it and being okay. like, I can do this.
Right.
And so it's, you know, I would say I'm going to start with short intervals, get the biomechanics down and build from there. But
yeah,
I'd have to lay out a whole training program for you. But I think that's absolutely doable.
Okay, yeah. Cool. That's awesome. This has been so great. I'm so glad we got to hang out. And we're going to do some ketone shots off camera.
So I'm excited to try it.
This has been awesome. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. I always like nerding out with you.
Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. If you like what you hear, leave us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social at Marnie on the Move for Facebook and Instagram. Head over to our website, marnieonthemove.com, for more info on this episode, links in the show notes, and of course, sign up for our quarterly newsletter, The Download, to get updates, deals, giveaways, and information on future events.